الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, from time to time we speak about the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Anhum Ajma'in with the intention of gaining lessons from their Mubarak and blessed life. And there is no doubt that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made them beacons of hidayat and beacons of guidance. Therefore, in the ayat which I have recited, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, the vanguard among the Sahaba, among the Muhajireen and the Ansar, and those who follow them in righteousness and guidance. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Here in this ayat, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has spoken about the Sahaba in terms of beacons of guidance for us to follow them. And today, one of the Sahabas who I would like to speak about is a very remarkable companion of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Hudhaifa bin Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hudhaifa, his father's name was Yaman. His father was also a Sahabi. He was from the Banu Abz tribe in Makkah Mukarramah. He was from the Banu Abz tribe of Makkah Mukarramah. Due to an argument and dispute, his father had killed someone in Makkah Mukarramah. And to protect himself, he took refuge and he went to Medina Munawwara, where he allied with someone from the Bani Ashhal tribe. So they gave him protection and he remained in Medina Munawwara. Born in Makkah Mukarramah with his son Hudhaifa, because he killed someone, he went to go and stay in Medina Munawwara. Because he was close to the Bani Ashhal tribe, he got married. Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu's father was from Makkah, not Hudhaifa. So Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, born afterwards, because when his father went to Medina Munawwara, got married to someone from the Bani Ashhal tribe. And he was given protection. Thereafter, he was amongst the, when Islam surfaced, and Yaman, Hudhaifa's father, was amongst those few people who went in the beginning stages of Islam to Makkah Mukarramah. At the time of Hajj, they pledged allegiance to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were 10 people who gave Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam protection to come to Medina Munawwara. His father was amongst the very few first people of Medina to accept Islam. Now, because of this background, his father grew up in Makkah, then he was in Makkah until this incident happened. Thereafter, he came to Medina Munawwara. Hazrat Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu had leanings both in Makkah and Medina. Now, when his father accepted Islam, Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu also accepted Islam. But he had never seen Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the longing was there to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he first came to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the situation of that his father's tribe was in Makkah, yet he grew up and much of his time was in Medina. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Hazrat Hudhaifa, "O Hudhaifa, where do you want to align yourself? Do you want to align yourself as a muhajir or an ansari? Do you want to align yourself as a person from Makkah or a person from Medina?" So Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu said, "I would like to align myself to the people of Medina. I would like to remain an ansari." So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, gave him this honor of choosing where he wants to be, from the Muhajir or the Ansar. And, you know, one very amazing incident, that during the Battle of Badr, when Hudhaifa and his father were traveling somewhere, they met with Abu Jahl, and this was very close to the Battle of Badr. So Abu Jahl met Yaman and Hudhaifa and said, "Where are you off to?" They said, "We're going to Medina." So he said, "I will let you go, although we are in the process of fighting with, and in the process of a war with Muhammad, I will allow you to go on one condition. In this war that is to take place, you will not align yourself and you will not fight against us." So when Huzaifa and his father Yaman came to meet Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madinah Munawwara, on this occasion, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them about the situation. They said, we met Abu Jahl who took this, he took this ahad, he took this promise from us. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what should we do? Should we participate in this battle? Should we go with you in this caravan and thereafter which led to the battle of Badr? Brothers, I would like you to recall this incident. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you gave your word and you cannot go against your word. Can you imagine giving the word to the enemy of Islam? And that too at a time when Muslims did not have sufficient numbers to fight against the enemies. But Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Huzaifa and his father, you will not partake in this expedition. You would not partake in this battle because you gave your word to a non-Muslim, even if he was the enemy of Islam. Brothers, today how you and I, we go against our words, how we go against our agreements, how we go against our promise. Even sometimes Muslim, non-Muslim, we make no distinction. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. O you who believe, fulfill your agreements. Whatever word you have given, jo baat aapne tay kiya hai, uska pura karna zaruri hai. Jo wada kiya, uska nibana zaruri hai. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. Fulfill your agreements. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, 20 places in the Holy Quran. 20 se zyada jaga Quran mein. Allah Ta'ala ne hame apne baat ko manane aur usko upar tay karna Allah Ta'ala ne farz kiya hai. Allah has made it compulsory in over 20 ayats of the Holy Quran to fulfill our agreements. Maymun bin Mihran radiyallahu ta'ala says that there are three things in which there is no difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Three things in which there is no difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. One is an agreement must be fulfilled when you have made it, Muslim or non-Muslim. The rights of relatives must be adhered to, Muslim or non-Muslim. An amanat must be given back to its owner, Muslim or non-Muslim. Three things, no difference between Muslim and a non-Muslim. Maymun bin Mihram, one of the great scholars of our history. So this happened because of that they did not take part in the Battle of Badr. However, in the Battle of Uhud, both the father and the son took part. However, the father, Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was made in charge of looking after the woman and children. And when he saw the Muslims achieving victory, so Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his sati and his companion was Thabit, he said, how can we remain behind from this situation? Let us also take part in the battle. So they left their post and they went to take part in the battle with the intention of achieving martyrdom. In this, Thabit, who was with Yaman, the father of Huzaifa, achieved martyrdom. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the confusion, because at that time, they were all trying to kill Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba had put a fort and a protection around Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that melee and confusion, the Muslims set upon Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and what is today known as friendly fire. Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was mistakenly killed by the Muslims in that confusion. And after this, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became very perturbed and he said to his son, Huzaifa, your father was killed by the Muslims, you have to take blood money. And there's a whole ayat in the Holy Quran which relates the incident of how blood money must be given if someone is killed by mistake. And it's got tremendous value. That is why you find in certain countries where the Islamic rule is partially observed, people are very, very, very frightened and very anxious of killing someone by accident, by mistake. So the cars in Saudi Arabia, for example, are very, very, very worried about killing pedestrians because there is a blood money attached to it, even if you kill someone by mistake. So in this particular way, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam insisted that blood money must be paid. Huzaifa said, Ya Rasulullah, I will not pay the blood money. The reason I will not take the blood money because my father wanted martyrdom. This was done by mistake. And in a way, he achieved the martyrdom because although he was killed by the Muslims, his intention was there. So when he refused to take the blood money, it increases his respect in the eyes of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Yaman, his father, passed away at that particular time. However, he had certain very remarkable qualities. One of his qualities was he was keen intelligence. He had decision making in critical situation and capacity to keep secrets. Three remarkable qualities of Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala. And this came to the fore in various times in the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. So you find that in the battle of Khandaq, in the battle of Trench, where the Confederates had come upon and had attacked the Muslims, had surrounded the Muslims, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam required someone to go and do some intelligence gathering. So you see this concept of a spy, the concept of intelligence was in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now because it was extremely cold that winter, no one wanted to make themselves available. No one volunteered. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the Sahaba. Hazrat Huzaifa said, I was in one corner taking my shawl and protecting myself from the cold, hoping that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam might not see me. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam summoned me and said, Huzaifa, I feel you are most worthy for this task. And for various reasons, for the very same reason which I have made mention of the three different qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. One was, you know, his intelligence, his thinking on the feet, to be able to make a decision on the spur of the moment and making the correct decision, and his ability to listen to commands, and his ability to keep secrets. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told him, I'll make dua for you. He said, the moment Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for me, I felt the shivering of my bones evaporating, and I no more felt cold. And I went, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only go and gather intelligence, don't do anything more. Only go and gather intelligence, and I know you will be the right person. Hazrat Luqman radiallahu ta'ala used to say, when you want to send someone for a task, then send a wise person and don't give him any instructions. When you want to send someone for a very important task, send a wise person, don't send a foolish person. Send a wise person, don't give him too much instruction. Tell him this is the objective. Because of his wisdom, he will be able to choose the right path. He will be able to know what to do. So Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala was sent. And he went, and when he went in the midst of the Quraysh and the enemies of Islam, Abu Sufyan sensed that there might be someone. So he said, I want to make an important announcement. Therefore, to see that everyone here is from our camp, let the person immediately identify the person who is next to him. Let the person immediately identify the person who is next to him to see that there is no one who is outside our gathering, who is no one from amongst the Muslims, no one from amongst the enemy from their side. Immediately Huzaifa, this was now the importance of thinking on the feet. Immediately Huzaifa radiallahu anhu asked the two people next to him, who are you? Identify yourself quickly. So in this way, he was able to save himself with regard to the situation that had arisen. Abu Sufyan then gave a speech and he said, things have become very difficult. The hailstorm that has come, even the Bani Qurayza who was supposed to help us while in Medina, the tribe in Medina, the Jews, against the Muslims, they have also forsaken us. Let us leave them. And I'm going to leave. I can't take this. 1 month, we have not been able to achieve our objectives. And saying this, he gathered and he got on his camel to leave the gathering and to leave the battle to end the siege. And Abu Huzaifa said at that time, he was right in my sight. I took out my spear, I took out my arrow to kill the leader of the enemy. And at that time, I remembered what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Huzaifa, you only go and gather intelligence, don't do anything more. And I said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me only to do this. You see the importance of obedience. Sometimes you want to become, do more than what you are told, and it can be counterproductive. And Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala came, I saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tahajjud prayers, and I came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me great amount of dua. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, thanked me with regard to this whole particular aspect. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala always remained very firm upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, there are various methods with regard to, you know, in terms of when someone criticizes you, how do you deal with it? There is one, the method of Abu Talib. Abu Talib, deep down in his heart, he knew that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a true prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why he used to say to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam many a times, I know that you are truthful in your claim, but I'm worried about the criticism of people. So sometimes you worry about the criticism of people that takes you away from the truth. Takes you away from the truth. And one is, I will remain firm upon the truth, irrespective of the situation, irrespective of the criticism that is leveled against me. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Allah Ta'ala says about those people who are close to Allah Ta'ala, they do not fear in doing that which is correct, they do not fear the criticism of the critic. That is why one day Abu Huzaifa radiallahu anhu was sitting, and he was in a gathering where he was in an expedition, and he was eating when a morsel fell down, and he started to pick up that morsel. And someone said, "Oh Huzaifa, don't do it. You are in a foreign country. There are people looking at you. They don't like you doing something, picking up a morsel that has fallen down from the plate." And he said, "Atatruku sunnata habibi lihaulai al-humaqa." Must I leave the sunnah for the sake of idiots? Should I leave the sunnah? This is a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to eat every morsel from the plate. Brothers, one wonders with regard to the sunnah. We see today, I've seen it many a times, people go into, you know, buffets, etc. They take so much on the plate, they can't finish it, they just leave it. Just to be wasted. I mean, take that much that you can eat. Take that much that you can finish. You can always go again and fetch more if you want. But this sunnah has forsaken us. Eat how much you can. Do not let one morsel go wasted from your plate. The way we carry on sometimes in buffets is if the food is going to escape us. Atatruku sunnata habibi lihaulai al-humaqa. I'm going to leave the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the sake of these idiots and fool. This was the method of Abu Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. Because of the situation that I have made mention, of his remarkable qualities, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to put trust in Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. He was known as Sahibu Sir Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the keeper of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's secrets. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, only two people know, the munafiq and the hypocrites in my midst, in the midst of the Sahaba, or in the midst of the Muslim community at that time. Me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me, and I have shared it with Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was now. You see, brothers, we must keep in mind, secrets is a very amazing thing. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam always used to say, keep your secrets in your own hand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make dua, Allahumma astur awrati wa amin rawati. Oh Allah, always conceal my faults, conceal my secrets. Brothers, there are very few people who do not have skeletons in their cupboards. But the moment we keep it concealed, it is in our hands. The moment we keep our secrets within ourselves, it is in our hands. The moment you make mention with regard to your secrets to someone, even if he's trustworthy, it is no more in your hands. Your secrets are like your honor. And that is why it is so important that you always keep your secrets to yourself. If you have to reveal it, reveal to Allah. If you have to reveal it, reveal it to someone who has to correct you with regard to what you are seeking assistance from. Go and tell, for example, your sheikh. Go and tell a spiritual guide with regard to a secret, that he can guide you upon the right path. A very famous incident, Jigar Muradabadi was a very famous poet in pre-partition India-Pakistan. So he changed his life. He was an alcoholic. He used to take alcohol. He used to drink alcohol. Then he changed his life. And to such an extent that he changed his life, that the doctors told him that leave alcohol gradually. Because all of a sudden for you to leave alcohol might be harmful to your health, because you are so accustomed to it. He said, once I've made up my mind, I will never ever go back to it, even if it harms my health. So he went to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Because he had changed his life, very briefly he kept a small beard with the intention of coming according to the sunnah. And the day he went to go and make bet, and he went to pledge allegiance at the hands of the spiritual guide of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he once again shaved off his beard and he appeared without the beard in front of Maulana Thanvi. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, you were keeping a beard, why did you take it off? So he said, see, I have now come to pledge allegiance to change my life. You are Hakimul Ummat. Hakim means the spiritual guide. I am a Marid. Marid means a sickness. And when a sick person comes in front of the doctor, he must reveal all his weakness. I am revealing all my weakness. That is why I have come. And people thereafter saw Jigar Muradabadi, a poet who was an atheist, who had taken to alcohol. One person made mention, I saw Jigar Muradabadi in Medina Munawara, crying and regretting over his sins to such an extent in front of the qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I felt envious. I hope that I could have been that person. Allah Ta'ala changed his life. What I'm saying is that we must be very, very careful with regard to revealing. The moment you take away your secrets and you give it to someone else, it is as if you have placed your honor in the hands of someone else. And of course, today we know if you want to leak something, they say just
Just tell someone, don't tell anyone. Surely everyone is going to say. And especially with regard to women folk, it is more known that a woman is more tends to reveal secrets than others. So one day there was a gathering between men and women, and the men were saying, you know, we men can keep secrets more. And one woman said, never. I don't think you can keep secrets. I think women can keep more secrets. And then they said, no. And then she said, don't you realize that I have kept the secret of my age for so long? And the men said, one day you will let it slip. You say you have kept your age secret for so long, one day you will let it slip. She was a 21-year-old woman. She said, so the men said, no, one day you will make it slip. She said, I kept the secret for 27 years. What do you mean? I kept it for 27 years, I can keep it for more. So in that way, she also revealed her secrets in that way without knowing. So keeping the secrets, one the moment you tell someone, it is no more in your hands. Then the person who has been told, it is an amanat upon him to keep that. Al-majalisu bil-amana. Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, if anyone tells you something, that you are not supposed to reveal it, then it is a trust upon you not to reveal it. It's a trust upon you not to reveal it. Al-majalisu bil-amana. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala was a close confidant of Nabi Karim s.a.w. One day Nabi s.a.w. sent him for an errand. And he came back and his mother said, oh my son, where did you go? Nabi s.a.w. sent me. What did he send you for? Oh my mother, Nabi s.a.w. said I should keep it secret. Mother didn't insist upon it. Oh my son, if the Nabi of Allah told you to keep it secret, you are bound to keep it secret. Jazakallah for not telling me. The person, Ma'iz Aslami radiallahu ta'ala was that sahabi who had done something wrong and he wanted to purify himself. And when he wanted to purify himself, someone told him that go and tell what you had done to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this person used to boast that I was the one who went to tell Maiz to go and reveal his faults in front of you, Ya Rasulullah. And because of that, he was stoned to death because of committing fornication. And this person used to boast, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day told him, don't boast. Wallahi, if you had covered the faults of Ma'iz Aslami, it would have been better than the punishment that he had received. So when a person gets, he should always keep that in mind. Huzaifa kept this. He was sahib al-sir. To such an extent that after the death of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to approach him because of the fact. Brothers, look at these two incidents and I will conclude and come to the conclusion of the talk. One day Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, oh Huzaifa, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you and told you about the munafiqs in this ummah. Did he by chance not make mention of my name amongst them? Ya Allah. Umar, about whom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar fil Jannah. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. What a concern about his iman. Oh Huzaifa, did the Nabi of Allah not take my name that perhaps I'm a munafiq? Then one day Umar radiallahu anhu said, oh Huzaifa, I have appointed governors. Is there anyone who while I'm appointed, I might not know? He might be amongst those that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has identified him as a hypocrite. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, one person. Umar said, tell me his name. He said, I'll never tell my name. Because the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala told me I should not make mention of it to anyone. And Umar radiallahu anhu used his own discretion to remove one of the governors whom he had doubt upon. And this happened to be the right person whom Huzaifa radiallahu anhu knew about. And another aspect of Huzaifa radiallahu anhu was that he was the one who knew most about the signs of Qiyamah. Most of the signs of Qiyamah in the book of Ahadith is related by Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. And used to say, people used to come and tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam various things. I used to ask him about signs of Qiyamah. So one day Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, oh Huzaifa, tell me about the signs of Qiyamah. And Huzaifa said, Umar, why do you worry? The Nabi of Allah had said, Umar is a door against the fitna and the trials of Qiyamah. He said, the day Umar dies, the day that door is locked, the day the door is open, then the signs and the trials of Qiyamah will start. So Umar, why are you worried about it? So he said, then Umar asked him, will the door be opened or will the door be forced open or would it be broken? So Huzaifa said, the door would be broken. So the students of Huzaifa used to ask, what is the meaning of Umar asking this question? He said, Umar asked the question because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is a door against the trials of Qiyamah. Umar asked the question, would the door be open normally or would it be forced open or broken? When he said it would be broken, it was an indication that Umar wanted to know whether he would die a natural death or he would remain shaheed. So I gave him the indication that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the door would be broken open. And this was Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala. When he passed away, you know, he was part of the Sahaba who conquered the Persian Empire. And one very amazing incident that I would make mention of, and this has been made mention in many, many Google sites that you will find. Just go and Google and you say, the aspect of Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu's grave in April 1932. Now in this last century, say about 70, 80 years back, the king of Iraq saw a dream. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu came to him in a dream and said, there is water and moist in my qabr which is causing me taklif and inconvenience. Remove the water. He saw the dream for the two times. He didn't know what to do. He called the Mufti of Iraq. And he told the Mufti of Iraq, I've seen this dream. The Mufti of Iraq said, I've also seen this dream. And they then took a decision that they are going to remove the graves of these two Sahaba which were on the river banks of Iraq. And they're going to put it in another place. When people came to know about it, they said, no, you can't remove the graves of the Sahaba till we finish Hajj. It was near the time of Hajj. So after Hajj, they removed the graves of the Sahaba. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu and Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. 500,000 people came. A German crew actually had filmed this whole thing. One of the German crew thereafter accepted Islam. When they lifted the graves of these two Sahaba, the coffins were intact. The hair was as it was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One amazing aspect was, no one could see in the eyes of these two Sahaba. No one could see the eyes. They could not focus their eyes on those Sahaba. And the ulama made mention, the reason for this was, those eyes were the eyes that had set sight upon the Nabi of Allah. How could people in this age be able to see that? This was Huzaifa bin Yaman, one of the great Sahabis of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the confidant of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a great reward on behalf of this ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of following in the footsteps of the Sahaba ikram in their lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.